Oh, Kyle filling it today.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show.
It means no worries.
What is
for
this?
For the rest of your
Why
day.
Are we playing this song here, Kyle?
This is like your theme song, basically.
My theme song? Not today. I'm worried about this offense. Kyle has no worry. He comes back from vacation. He's not worried about anything. Everything's great. It's flowers,
That's what
rainbows,
vacation's supposed to do for you.
Sunshine.
You're supposed to unplug and recharge. Unplug and recharge. Wait a minute. You're supposed to, like, unplug.
Well,
and
I don't
then,
know. Yeah.
Yeah. Recharge, right?
Yeah.
Recharge.
What's the over-under on days before Kyle starts
Tomorrow.
Getting grumpy and negative again?
All depends on how the night goes.
Yeah. You set the line always at half a day.
Okay.
Like 0.5.
Okay. So you right now you're still good, though.
You're not talking me off, or talking me onto the ledge, I guess, so to speak.
Okay, so my worry is not
you
working
You can't bring
on
me down,
you.
TK. Not today.
Right. Well, Kyle's in a good mood. I'm worried about the offense. You want to get in 215-592-9494. Unbelievable performance from Zach Wheeler on Sunday. Philly starting pitching's been great, but I'm more struggling to get behind this team because of the offensive struggles that they've had. Where are you? And now we're joined by Rhea Hughes, obviously part of the morning team here at WIP. What's up, Rhea?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. And Rhea's calling is brought to you by the Mattress Warehouse with exclusive bed mattress technology to find your perfect mattress. Rhea, what happened to your finger this weekend? That's my first question.
I you saw it.
Why you got a splint on your
my
finger?
My middle finger, Hugh. Hugh, it's the middle finger.
Wait a minute. What were you doing with your middle finger, Rhea, or should I ask on the air?
I slammed it in my slider at the shore, and it was – we thought it was broken. I haven't gotten an x-ray yet, but I don't think it's broken, but it is black and blue, the nail, the tip, and it's insanely painful to touch.
Wait a minute, Rhea, and that's on the same arm –
same arm that I got chewed up at the Jurassic movie a week ago.
Saw the Jurassic movie. I finally saw it. It was okay.
It was. I think they were trying to repeat too much of the original. You know, you've got Scarlett Johansson. You got the other guy. You got the bad guy. We were all waiting. Everybody in the movie kept whispering, "When is the bad guy going to get eaten?" Because you know he's going to get eaten.
Yeah.
He's the bad guy, and everybody did clap. So I did kind of enjoy that. But, you know, they had the kids. I thought they were trying to pull. I didn't like the previous one. What was that, Dominion?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was.
I didn't like that. I like this one better than Dominion.
Yeah, that's the thing with these movies. It feels like they all try to do the exact same thing. It just gets a little repetitive.
Yeah, they made a lot
after
of money
while.
This weekend, though. But, yeah, it was
they're not hurting.
It's that kind of movie. It's always going to do big numbers. But, Rhea, obviously, Phillies over the weekend. They win 2-3. Unbelievable performance from Zach Wheeler. Just to start off, Rhea, just put it in perspective for us. Zach Wheeler, the kind of pitcher he is, where does he rank for you in terms of Phillies pitchers all time that you've seen?
Well, my favorite of all time is Steve Carlton. So I go back a little ways, and you know, he routinely, you know, finished games. I mean, this is what, Zach's just fourth since, or first?
Yeah,
since
something like
years?
That. Yeah, something. It was fourth or fifth, somewhere around those numbers.
I think that's more a thing of Topper pulling him out when he shouldn't, like he shouldn't have in that Mets game last year. But it was, he's just much watch TV as a pitcher. I mean, it's beautiful. And I thought, okay, so for me, all time was always Carlton. And then obviously, you've got, Roy Halladay. The problem with Halladay is he wasn't here. I mean, he was a phenomenal pitcher, just wasn't here long enough. He had two of the greatest games I've ever seen, you know, especially the Reds playoff game, which was phenomenal. And I was lucky to be there for it. I mean, I still consider it one of the greatest performances I've ever gotten to see live. He just wasn't here long enough. But what Zach Wheeler has done, it's incredible to watch. It really is. So, kudos to him. And please don't retire in 2 years. Because here's the crazy thing, Tom. I'm going, all right, is he coming back out for the ninth? You know, I spent the entire, you know, bottom of the eighth. And he got eight pitches. That's all he needed. He was done. Game over.
Yeah.
So he still had tons left in the tank. It was pretty amazing.
No, it's insane, Rhea. And like you said, the longevity is the thing to me that's so impressive about it. Because, yeah, Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee, they had unbelievable peaks here. Like, Cliff Lee after the Phillies traded for him in 09. Roy Halladay in 2010 specifically with the perfect game, the no-hitter in the playoffs was incredible. But Wheeler, since the Phillies signed him at this point, what, 6 years ago? I mean, he's been the best pitcher in baseball. It's really crazy when you look at how long he's been able to do this for.
And he's been robbed of at least one Cy Young. Last year, you know, I know all of the metrics said it was Sale, but, you know, the hope is that he gets it this year. It's for me, it's really Carlton, Hamels, Wheeler. Wheeler moves up if they win. I mean, you know, Carlton and Hamels have championships. So, and they were, obviously, Hamels was a massive part of it. Wasn't he the MVP of the World Series?
Yeah, he was.
So, yeah. For right
that's
now, but I mean,
I'm
you know, Zach is clearly just phenomenal. And listen, Sanchez has been phenomenal. Suarez, I'm a little worried about Suarez because the start before this weekend, I listened to most of the game on the radio with Scott Fransky and Kevin Stocker, and they kept saying that he looked uncomfortable in the mound and that his velocity was down. Well, no one ever said anything like after the game, but now all of a sudden they pull him out in the fifth inning. After 85 pitches. Now, he had a lot of pitches, but then it was his shoulder and his back are hurting. And I'm going, well, were they hurting in that game? Like, I've had some questions about how the Phillies have handled injuries this year, starting with Aaron Nola. I think that he either wasn't telling them, but they should have picked up on something that that he was having issues. And the brace, you know, wrist thing is weird. So I don't think that they've managed their injuries very well this year.
Yeah, and Rhea, speaking of the Bryce thing, because that was one of the concerning things that you'd look at after this weekend. He obviously struggled again Saturday, 0-for-4, 4 Ks. Just doesn't seem to look right now. How worried are you about Bryce and his performance and his wrist?
Well, here's what I will say. In terms of his performance, he needs all the time. He needs 2 to 3 weeks to come back from an injury. You know, he doesn't do the rehab, you know, games. And it's like he's got to retrain himself all over again. And I think there's a little something with maybe he's trying to baby that wrist if, in fact, it had plateaued and it wasn't getting any better. It's the weirdest injury. It's like, is it injured? Or, like, what is wrong with it unless it's just chronic at this point? So, but for me, he's always come back from injuries very slow, and then he goes on a heater. So I would say in like 2 or 3 weeks, here's the problem. 2 or 3 weeks, if he's not hitting, what do you do at the trade deadline? That's the fascinating part, is if he goes back to form and the wrist is okay and he starts going crazy, then you're like, okay, we might be okay offensive-wise, but if not, what do you do?
Yeah, and that's the real concern, Rhea. And when you look at this weekend, this is what we've been discussing a lot throughout the first hour plus of the show here, is, you know, the starting pitching, incredible. Wheeler, incredible on Sunday. Ranger had a great performance on Saturday, despite only throwing around 80 pitches. But you look at the offense, and the struggles continue. They're 0-for-10 with runners in scoring position yesterday. 3-for-13 cost them the game on Friday. After this weekend, where do you fall? Are you more encouraged by the starting pitching or more discouraged by the offense?
I think that what the Phillies should do is when they get runners on base, they should put the invisibility cloak on them because they cannot hit with runners in scoring position.
Good idea.
It's like, it's insane. Because, you know, you're going, well, they're getting on base, but they just, you know, what was it? Was it Castellanos who swung at 3 straight pitches with either runners on the corner or with the bases loaded? The games were kind of running together this weekend, but it was also, I was off for 5 days. So, here's the thing is, this was 2011, the Phillies didn't score. You saw, you know, in the past previous playoff runs, they picked the worst possible. Tom, think we're going to know until the playoffs. They're either going to hit or they're not. I don't think there's any way to fix this unless they do go out and get a bat, and Harper's healthy. But we've just seen it too many times. So why should I expect you literally, it's a hope that they don't go ice cold because I think they've spent plenty of time trying to fix it with the chase rate, with doing different things. I mean, look what Kyle Schwarber has changed himself into, a guy who hits left-handed pitching, you know, with relative ease. So it can be done. There's just players on this team who can't seem to do it.
You know what, Rhea, speaking of that, because we're we don't know what Bryce Harper we're going to get moving forward.
Wait, are we getting a guy who's going to move runners around? Well,
you know, Rhea, when I said it, I know it irritates a lot of people. But at this point, what's the realistic expectations of Bryce Harper?
You just got to hope that he can manage it. I mean, because his swing is violent. It is what it is. I mean, and you know, we talked about this morning. I always forget when we're looking at him that he's been playing the game for 14 years.
Yeah, a long time.
It's insane. Like, he's been playing a long time, and that wear and tear with that violent swing, you know, it seems to be catching up to him. And you hope, you know, the hope is that it starts to come back a little bit around the trade deadline. They really this time seriously go, because I think this might be their last chance with this. You know, obviously Schwarber's a free agent. What does Castellanos have, 1 year left after this, or is he done after this?
He's got one more year after this.
One more, but I think they'll move on from him this offseason. I think they'll trade him.
Yeah, and I mean, you can't move off of him right now, but after the season, I could see that.
No, you can't. No, you need him. No, you absolutely need him right now. You live with the defense, and you make your changes in late games.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one more for you here, Rhea. I mean, you've mentioned the deadline a couple times here, but where do you fall right now? What do you think is the bigger need, bullpen or a bat in the outfield?
I want both. I'm very greedy.
Ain't nothing wrong with being greedy.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you do. You need, but it's like, who's out there? I mean, they're, and what are you going to, they, bullpen, they, I mean, we all know it. You can rely on Orion Kirkland, and that's Strom. Every time he goes out there, he's giving up a run. So, you know, you've got to get bullpen, and I just think you got to have a bat. I mean, you have to. Kempler, you know, Max Kepler, now I'm mixing up names. We had a caller this morning who was calling him Kempler. Like Otto Kemp and Max Kepler. Now I'm doing it. You know, he is what he is. So I think they got. I want both. I would like to see Crawford come up. I've been saying it all year long. I'd like to see what he has.
Yeah, I agree, Rhea. And I don't know what the holdup is with Crawford. I mean, we know what Brandon Marsh is. We know what Johan Rojas is. But it feels like they're not in a huge rush to do it, which is it's just weird. It's like the guy's crushing it at AAA. Why not just bring him up?
He really is, and I say it all the time, Hugh. You know, I said it. It's the family business. I don't think that he will be scarred by bringing him up. I'm sure his father has talked to him. Like, yeah, you may be brought up, you may be sent back down. That's the beginning of a. It's you know, I'm sure if I had a kid and they got called up to the majors and then they sent him down, I'd be freaking out. But you know, I'm sure his, you know, that those conversations have been had with him.
Yeah,
so I'm not worried about his psyche as much.
Yeah, and I mean, they're going to need something now, feel for sure, whether it's internally or externally. Absolutely. But Rhea Hughes, Rhea, take care of that hand. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Yeah, and just calm down. Just sit down for a little while, Rhea. Don't get hurt anymore.
Don't do anything?
Yes, just sit there.
It's not my nature, Hugh. You know that.
Yeah, Rhea can't sit still. Are you kidding?
No, not at all. Not at all.
All right, thanks, Rhea. Appreciate it.
See you guys. Bye.
And Rhea, real quick, she brought up Max Kepler. And I just gotta go off on Max Kepler.
Go for it. Yeah, the floor is yours.
This guy is a disgrace. Okay, I mean Max Kepler.
Disgrace.
He's a disgrace. I mean, for him to come out 2 weeks ago and complain about his playing. I can't get in a rhythm because I'm not playing.
Yeah, and they let him play.
Yeah, well, they sat him against lefties, which I'm glad Rob Thompson still did. But he comes up yesterday, right? Runners on the corners, nobody out. All you got to do is hit into a double play. It's a 1-1 game. Zach Wheeler's going to cruise. He's not going to give up another run. He strikes out on 4 pitches with 2 of the worst swings you'll ever see. Then the Phillies get nothing out of that inning. And I can't take this guy anymore. Like, to have the nerve, first of all, it's a bad teammate thing to do. Is it not, Hugh? I mean, you have Otto Kemper you're splitting time with. This kid just came up. Now, Max Kepler complains about he's not playing every day. What does that do to Otto Kemp's psyche when he's got the guy that he's sharing time with complaining about his playing time? Dude's hitting like 200. I mean, he has not produced. And here it's very simple for Max Kepler. If you hit and you produce, you'll play more. Why is that so hard? Why is that so hard for him to do?
That was a strong rant, by the way.
I'm not done. I'm not done.
My bad. How about Edmundo Sosa?
Hugh? Edmundo Sosa. The guy has produced for years here. If anybody's got a right to complain and say, I want more playing time, it's him. Bryson Stott's in front of him. Bryson Stott's not hitting either. Have we ever heard Sosa say anything? No, he's a good teammate. He plays when he's put in the lineup. He produces when he's put in the lineup. That's what you do. Stop complaining about your playing time. Play better and you'll play more. It's simple. Now I'm done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
There's a lot to digest. I'm of the mindset when guys that haven't been in the locker room that long have that much to say, there's probably some talking going on. And he felt real comfortable, because to me, he felt real comfortable saying what he said. But when you do that, when the moment finds you, because we like to call it when the moment finds you in the game, you got to step up to the plate, and you haven't done that. You hit a home. You got robbed last week. That's the home run he got robbed of last week.
That messed up my parlay.
He messed up my parlay in the first game, and then in the second game he decided to hit one that I didn't bet on. You know, this is all about me.
It really does all come back to your bets. That's all you're cared about.
But the bottom line is this: if you're gonna bark and you're gonna chirp and say all of that, man, you got to step up to the plate. You got to be that guy. You got to be that guy that warrants the playing time and make it so that Topper doesn't have to pull you or is forced to keep you out there when you're playing.
Right. Like back in 2008, Jason Worth was signed to be a platoon player with Jeff Jenkins that year. Jason Worth hit a ton, so they couldn't keep him out of the lineup. And that's the thing. Like, if you're going to hit, you're going to play, but you got to produce. And Kyle, I'm trying to rile you up a little bit here. Can you at least get behind me with Kepler?
No, for sure. I mean, the fact that he felt as comfortable as he did to say what he said while he's hitting 211 is a joke. I mean, when I heard him say that initially, Joe and I were both on the just DFA his ass train. I mean, you're not like, how much are you losing without Max Kepler in the lineup right now? Like, the guy stinks. He got hot for like a week. That was it. Like, I don't want to hear that crap from a, like, first of all, he's played 80 games this season. It's not like he's really splitting time. He's played the majority of the games in the outfield.
Right.
And he still sucks. Get lost.
Yeah.
There's Kyle.
There he is. See, that was really what I wanted. Okay. Reverse psychology. Okay. I needed to go on a rant on a guy that I knew Kyle doesn't like to kind of get him back. Kyle, are you more discouraged by the offense now?
No.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Jack in Norristown. What's up, Jack?
Jack. Hey, how we doing, fellas?
How you doing, Jack?
I'm hanging in there, you.
All right, that's all you can do, man. How's the trash in your neighborhood, man? Is it starting to pile up? You good?
Norristown.
Oh, it's not the city.
Yeah, no, okay. I live in Norristown.
Oh, my
man.
Bad. I forgot.
I actually live outside of Norristown.
Okay, gotcha.
But,
okay.
But not within the city limits either way, right, Jack?
Right. I'm
so
outside.
I
20 miles outside
Fishtown,
the city.
Yeah. Right, I should ask the Fishtown.
Yeah. But I just want to make say, Wheeler's a great pitcher. There's no doubt about it. It was great yesterday. And you guys make a big deal about a complete game. I just want to bring one thing up. When you guys go back in history, you never go past 1980. Robin Roberts had 305 complete games. So I got to give him his due.
Yeah, it's a different era now, Jack. It's a lot less common, but in some ways, isn't that more impressive?
I agree.
Yeah.
It is because of the way they do things now. A guy comes in and gets one out, and they put a new pitcher in the next inning. But from the beginning of the season, we knew we had starting pitching. Our starting pitching is super. And you can win with starting pitching, especially short series. You can win. But you got to have a little bit of hitting. And these guys, when one guy goes south, it seems like a lot of them. We got to get a bat, and we got to get a fireballer in the bullpen. I'd like to see us get Chapman, and I don't know who else for the hitter, but I'd love to see us get Chapman from Boston. He got a little gas left. And I think that's what we need. But this team, like that game yesterday, they're games we used to lose. But we pulled it out yesterday, last week, Ranger, we won a 2-1 game. We're winning them games, but it's still tough to do.
Yeah, I hear you, Jack, and appreciate the call. And
appreciate you, Jack, and appreciate you taking us past 1980, man. We got a point. That's why you respect your elders, man.
Yeah, you got to look back at the old days.
Yeah, you got to.
But you look at the offense, and I think the hope from a game like yesterday, because, again, the offense didn't come through in a lot of spots, but Bryson Stott hitting that home run, you hope that's a turning point for him, because mm-hmm. Bryson Stott, Hugh, he has really struggled this year. He's been, especially of late, really not producing much at the plate. You hope sometimes when a guy gets a hit like that, a two-run home run to win the game,
yeah,
Is that as a pro athlete? I mean, when you were struggling, can one play kind of turn it around and get you some confidence?
Well, first of all, I didn't do too much struggling.
Oh, well, I'm
no,
sorry.
Except for when I went to Jacksonville, that was something totally different.
That was anyway. Just an effort. That was more of an effort.
No, I'm just kidding. But no, like to your point, it's one of those things where you just try to get something good going for you, so you could kind of get the momentum going. And to your point, that's kind of what it's been all year long. When you talk about him. You talk about Alec Bohm, another guy who, when he was hitting home runs in the small ballpark, we thought that was going to be a turning point for him. Unfortunately, it wasn't. But still, you just got to keep plugging away, man, until you finally break through. And the fact that this team, when you look at those guys, and I think about the last couple of years where there were times where Bohm and Stott were guys that carried this offense, maybe they're just waiting for the playoffs.
Well, I don't think they're waiting.
For the playoffs, maybe they'll get going in the playoffs.
Right.
I should say it like that. Yeah, maybe they'll get going in the playoffs.
And, you know, it all, I feel like, does with the lineup tie back to the Bryce thing. Because if Bryce is not going to be the guy who we're accustomed to seeing him be, the guy who's going to carry a lineup, the guy who's going to hit, you know, 30-plus home runs, then more responsibility is going to fall on those other guys. You know, it's going to fall on Bohm. It's going to fall on Stott. JT, if he can get going, and, I mean, he's obviously struggled this year. He's hit a little more lately, but that's the thing. Like, if you can rely less on Bryce, you're going to need to rely more on those other guys at the bottom of the order to produce more for
you. Yeah, until he figures out what he needs to figure out as far as his hitting is concerned, man. Yeah, everybody's going to have to pull their weight. And I think they are. But I think a lot of times with this team, for whatever reason, early on, they were moving runners. They were. But like I said, when you go through it for a while and you start to struggle, you kind of revert to what you know best. And that's when they start, you know, swinging at everything. And that's where they need to stop. They need to get back to get centered so they're where they were when they were playing small ball and moving runners over. That's what they need to start doing.
Yeah.
Because they know how to do it. We've seen it. We've seen guys change their approach, so they know how to do it. So it's not something that, you know, that you can't do. You just have to work your way back to it.
Yeah, and that's what the offense is going to need to figure out. They're going to need to figure out how to produce more with runners in scoring position and pick up that pitching, because you can't just always rely on your starters to be outstanding. I mean, the Phillies have had the luxury of that this year because the starting pitching has been so incredible. I mean, we'll get a little later on the All-Star selections here, but Zach Wheeler, you know, it's not just been him. It's been Christopher Sanchez. It's been Ranger Suarez. I mean, to have a rotation.
Ranger got tidy back now, don't he?
Yeah, Ranger, I think he's all right. They said 80 pitches. They just wanted to limit him. Mm-hmm. I'll take them at their word on that. Okay. I think Ranger will be fine.
Okay.
And if you got to back him off a little bit, I think that's okay. But Ranger obviously has been tremendous this year, as has Christopher Sanchez and Wheeler. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Are you more encouraged by the Philly starting pitching, or are you more concerned and discouraged by the lineup production and the offense this weekend? Some of the things we're talking about today. When we come back, more Phillies calls, and want to get to another loser in Philadelphia sports, or was in Philadelphia sports, what Bryce Huff, your favorite guy, Hugh, had to say about his time here in Philadelphia and why it didn't work out here. So we'll get to that coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about this open. That's awesome.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today alongside Hugh Douglas. What do you think of the open for the Tom Kelly show?
It's all right. It has a little
It's awful.
Oh, come on,
Hip-hop. It has a little hip-hop feel about it.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. AI is really messing stuff up, ain't it? I don't know if we all got email. Well, I ain't worried about AI. AI ain't going to take my job.
Well, nobody can replicate this.
I'm an original.
I mean, but Kyle could just play your drops.
But I saw somewhere where, let me get this story straight. The AI... they had an AI model, and they were talking about replacing it. And the AI told a story like the dude was cheating on his wife or something. Did anybody else see that story?
I did see that, yeah.
Where the AI wrote a whole email to the company saying
he fell in love with
that somebody was cheating. in the company.
No, I didn't see this.
You didn't see that story?
No.
Oh, we're not too far away from the Terminator, dog. We're not too far away from the Terminator being for real.
Yeah, AI is pretty scary, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot going on. It's a lot going on with the AI.
Shout out to Sean in Newark, one of our great callers who made that open for me. And then Spike actually took it upon himself to make three more. So
he made more TK spots.
Yeah, but the ones that Spike made were a little less complimentary and a little more disparaging.
For real.
Yeah. So we might have to come back with those a few times as well.
Spike used to be my movie date. Spike got brand new. Spike back.
Well, you guys are the two movie buffs here.
Yeah,
at the station.
You know what? I asked him to go to the movies with me last week, and he talked about he was going with his wife.
Yeah.
How dare he?
You and Spike on a movie date? That would be great content. Honestly,
how dare he go to the movies with his wife?
So who'd you go with? Did you go
with my son?
You went with your son,
and he was. I mean, it was fun, but you know, it's different. You know.
I love the idea of you.
He ain't got no money.
I love the idea of you third wheeling a date with Spike and his wife.
No, it was
to
just
the
me. The first date we went on, it was just me. Spike. When I said it, just sounds funny.
What you guys went to the movies together? You actually did this?
I forgot where we went to go see though. I forgot already. But it was in the city.
Okay.
Well, what were you doing in the theater? That because it feels like this relationship is now ended. Are you like?
Well, first of all, let me tell you.
It didn't go well.
Let me tell
you. Check your phone in the theater often. Are you doing annoying stuff?
No. Let me tell you what happened. The first time we went, he bought the tickets, I bought the popcorn. But what he did was something that I thought was kind of weird, right?
Is that a fair deal?
It's an equitable relationship.
Well, I bought the popcorn and the drinks. That's about 40. That's about the same.
That's probably more expensive.
It is expensive. Honestly.
Yeah, that's about the same. But what he did, which I thought was a little odd, he got a seat right next to each other.
Now, you want the separation?
Well, if I would have bought the tickets.
So it's you who broke off this relationship.
Well, if I would have bought the tickets, I'd have put a little space between them.
Well, you're a big guy.
You know what I mean? Because yeah. I'm a wide body. I'm somewhat of a wide body.
Yeah.
So it was just weird that we sat right beside each other.
Did you guys share the popcorn?
Oh, no.
Okay.
It was two bags of popcorn, and like, I don't even share popcorn with my child.
Okay.
And I'm definitely not sharing it with a grown-ass man. I don't share my popcorn with my children.
Why?
Because.
Oh, man. Poor Harper.
I mean, I just don't. Harper got his own popcorn.
Okay.
And I guess
good for Harper then.
Yeah. And you know, because he's even that way. He is my child. So he had his popcorn. I had mine. And we sat there and watched the movies. And it was cool, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like Harper's too young to critique, you know, because after you watch the movie, you want to digest and talk about what you just saw. You know, so me and Spike talked about because, 28 years later came out and he saw it. That's what he went. He went to the movies with his wife to see that. And I went by myself.
Okay.
So I saw it and we kind of compared notes.
You guys had
that.
A call to compare notes that night?
No, listen. Have you seen 28 Years Later?
No, I haven't seen
Kyle, have
or
you
28
seen
Days
it?
Later either.
No, I haven't. No.
Have you seen the original? Like it's
zombie movie, right?
Yeah, yeah. And and it was
But you told us about the appendage.
Yes. I was trying to keep it, you know, cuz we have guests. But yeah, it was
appendage.
It was bananas.
Okay.
How about that D, baby?
It was bananas. If anybody watched it, it was like, I was like, because I was sitting there with somebody, and I'm like, good God.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm sure somebody out there does. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Are you more encouraged by the Phillies starting pitching after this weekend or discouraged by the Phillies offense? I'm more worried and discouraged by the offense. Hugh is more encouraged by the pitching, even though he still refuses to move Zach Wheeler up
number one in my heart, though, if he's listening.
Well, I'm sure he's out in San Fran listening.
I felt like he was listening.
Yeah, well,
he probably you can listen on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, you can.
Famous plug.
Absolutely.
Famous plug.
Working out in the morning since you also said he never works out apparently.
He ain't working out. He probably smoking a Black and Mild right now.
Oh man.
What'd you say? What'd you call it? Kyle ripping a heater?
Ripping a heater.
He probably ripping a heater. He's probably ripping a heater, drinking Old Natty.
Yeah, he could do that down in the corner. He might be today. He might have last night. I mean, he's not pitching for another 5 days. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. In a few minutes, we'll get to what Bryce Huff had to say about his time in Philadelphia. That's coming up. First, let's go back to the phones. Go to Steve in Egg Harbor. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, what's going on, Tom? You hit it on the nose about Sosa, I can tell you that. I really believe this guy should be a starter every day. I mean, 3 years he's been with us or something like that. Every year he hits like 260 and only plays part-time. Imagine if he played every day and he had a chance to get in a groove. We saw him earlier in the year what kind of groove he can get into when, you know, everybody was, there was a few people injured and he played almost every day for 2-3 weeks in a row. And the guy was just lighting up. And then he benched him for like a week and a half before he plays again. And that's the problem I have with this team. When you see somebody who's doing what that guy was doing, you got to keep him in the lineup. Topper never does. He always goes back to Stott and all that. And I'll tell you, Stott has got a major problem with an uppercut swing, just like Castellanos. The down and in to Stott and the down and away to Castellanos, they flail at it all the time. They're never going to learn. This is why this team will not win a championship.
Well, this is the thing, Steve. As far as Stott goes, I don't blame Rob Thompson for trying to play him against righties and get him going. But what does bother me is, like, Sosa, again, he's been here 4 years. The guy's produced. He gets put in the lineup, and he does his job. For a guy like that to never cause any issues, never to say anything about his playing time, and then you got Max Kepler, who's been here, what, a few weeks?
A cup of coffee.
And he's going to complain when he's hitting 200. I mean, there's something wrong with that.
And he had his chance early in the year. He was playing every day for the first month and a half. I mean, there's only 6 months in the baseball season. But Sosa has never complained. And this guy, I'm sorry, man. I mean, if I'm him, I'm looking elsewhere after his contract is done, because I think this guy could be a starter. I think he could hit 285, 290. When a guy hits 260 playing every other day, basically, because that's what he does. I mean, actually, he plays like 4 days in a row, and then he'll give him off a week. And he does, like you said, nothing but produce. Why isn't he given the opportunity to play every day is beyond me. It's because our manager is soft and weak as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Steven, I appreciate the call. I don't agree with that. I don't think Rob Thompson's soft and weak. I think Rob Thompson takes too much heat, Hugh. Like, I actually think Rob Thompson with this team this year, I think he's done a really good job with this team.
Yeah, I mean, but it's certain people don't realize how hard it is to manage. And I think especially for us more advanced individuals, older guys, that we look at certain ways that the old manager used to do things and think that you can incorporate that into this game. Mess around and get Sprewell that way. I don't think it works that way anymore. I think you have to adapt and adjust to the times that we're dealing with. And I think Topper has done a tremendous job. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about Castellanos and his blow up and his tay-to-tay. And it feels like Topper set him down and said, well, hey, you know, they went over the numbers and everything, and he saw exactly where he was. And to your point, he's starting to play a little bit better. Because, you know, sometimes as a player, you don't see it because you're too close to it. So you have to have somebody else sit back and kind of go through it with you to see exactly where you are. And it feels like they've, you know, gotten better since then.
Right. And I think specifically in a sport like baseball, where you're playing every single day.
Yeah.
Like, I think the hardest part of the job, it's not as much about X's and O's and when to go to this pitch or when to pinch hit this guy. It's about managing personalities. Mm-hmm. It's about managing egos. And I think that is something that Rob Thompson, honestly, does really well to keep a clubhouse kind of healthy.
And not only that, the way I look at baseball is like this. Whatever you are in training camp or, you know, down in Clearwater, that's probably what you're going to be during the season, because you don't have a whole – it's not like football. You know, we get to go out there and play football, and you get to play a game on Sunday, and you got all week to practice to correct the mistakes that you've made. In baseball, it doesn't feel like that. It feels like, you know, you play the game one day, you play another game the next day. The next day you're traveling, so you have to kind of – go to batting practice and just try to, you know, get a feel for and watch what you made mistakes on and just try to do better, like, on the fly. So it's a lot different in baseball.
Yeah, definitely. Let's go to Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Hey, boys. It's been a while. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's going on, man?
All right. I called you a while ago. I had mentioned I really, you know, watching New York Mets, watching the Phillies. I'm up in PA now. And I still think the Phillies starting rotation will definitely blow away the Mets, but I'm a San Francisco Giants fan, and I think that I'm really interested in this series. It's going to be a good series. We're not going to have our best pitchers out there, and we do not hit lefties, so we're going to have a tough time with Sanchez. And you guys are going to see Rupe, Ray, and Verlander, and Verlander's not been very good. So It's just strength in general. I think the National League with the wild card, if you look at all these possibilities, all these teams that got a shot at the wild card, it's going to be very difficult to say, well, we're going to sell and we're going to go to this team and pick up a reliever or pick up whatever. And I think the Alvarado deal, obviously, as you know, hurts you guys.
Well, yeah, the Alvarado thing killed the Phillies. And I think to your point, Richie, and this is what makes the deadline kind of complicated right now, is you don't even know what teams are going to be sellers right now. I mean,
yeah,
you look around,
it's kind of tightly grouped together, man.
You look around baseball, I mean, aside from like six or seven teams, everybody can convince themselves they're still in the playoff race right now.
Yeah, you're going to have Pittsburgh, Colorado. You look at Colorado. Colorado's got three or four stud reliever guys. I see them all the time in the National League West. So, you know, and then those are going to come in. Those are important pieces, obviously. You get five innings now from a starter. It's like unique. But, you know, getting back to Wheeler, we gave him up, as you know. And we had Wheeler, and we got Beltran back in 2011. It's one of the worst deals we've ever made. I love that guy. He is just a stud. He is out there every game. You touched on it. I think he's the Cy Young winner this year. I know that the fellow from Pittsburgh has been great. But I think he's due. He's been a top three or four on numerous occasions. I think Wheeler is just, you know, and never a complaint, just a total worker out there. And you guys do underachieve with the hitting. I just don't understand sometimes the hitting. I thought that your second baseman was going to be was going to be better. Turner, you can't knock him. 22 stolen bases, hitting 300. Castellanos has done his job, but missing Harper. But I still think, from what I see with the Mets, that they have enough pitching. And the Mets are going to get some help now. They're going to get Manaea back, and they're going to get Sanger back.
Yeah.
But I still give the edge, but this series should be interesting tonight.
No, Richie, I hear you, man, and appreciate the call. And yeah, I think the Phillies are largely better than the Mets, but and the starting pitching does give them that edge. I mean, the Mets starting pitching is not in a good situation right now.
Yeah, and when you look at what the game started like,
9:45 tonight. How are you
make
making
that deal?
It? Yeah,
all depends.
Take a nap.
I'm gonna take a nap. I'll probably take a nap.
Drink some coffee.
How many innings do you think you do get through tonight?
It all depends, man. Oh, you know,
I think you'd be lucky to make it the first pitch.
No, I'll probably make it the first pitch. It all depends.
But not the second?
Because, you know, usually Monday's like gummy night. Gummy night is on a Monday. So like, I probably had to push, no gummy night back to tomorrow night.
Yeah, 9:45.
Well, that's another 9:45.
I got to say, man, I'm kind of a fraud. I used to be one of these people who would mock people who couldn't stay up late night.
Kids, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, I got a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 6-month-old.
Them kids be wearing you out.
Yeah, so I don't know if I'm going to. I'm going to try my hardest.
You don't be trying to go back-to-back, do you? With the kids, do you?
What do you mean back-to-back?
Yeah, leave it there.
We're done. We're done now. But, yeah, 4, 2, and 6 months, not easy. Not easy. Did I miss something?
No, man, it's an inside joke.
215.
That you're probably stay inside.
215-592-9494. If you want to get in, we'll get back to the phones in a second. But speaking of the Giants, who the Phillies are playing tonight, our old friend Bryce Huff now out there in San Francisco.
Right.
Maybe he'll be taking in the game tonight out there. But he's with the San Francisco 49ers now.
He left that one alone, dog. He should have just left Philly. Just leave Philly alone, man. Take the ring.
Yeah.
And just go enjoy playing for the 49ers.
Yeah, just take the ring and be on your way. Could that have been that difficult for him, Hugh? The guy you predicted to, what, set the all-time
22,
Eagles record?
22 sacks? Yeah, I thought he was gonna have a hell of a year, man. He can play. He can play.
You should apologize for that take, by the
way.
Reggie White's sack record?
That was a hot take. That was hot.
It was a joke.
That was a hot take.
We're going to have to keep a list of how many takes Hugh needs to apologize for.
I don't need to apologize for none of them.
Okay. All right. Wheeler, defense is a luxury.
I ain't got to apologize for none of them.
But Bryce Huff was speaking earlier this week and talked about his time in Philly and how he kind of knew early on it wasn't going to work out here.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if I'm being 100% honest with you, I wanted to trade, like, fairly early on. And just because of how things went in Philly, like, I knew pretty early on that it wasn't a fit. But, like, being a signing of that magnitude, like being undrafted and going and getting that contract and being in Philly, like the expectations are at an all-time high. So I knew a trade wasn't going to happen during the season. But I just kind of like talked to my agent about it. I was like, yeah, when it's all said and done, like I might need to step, you know, just to be able to put myself in the best position to ball out and have a fruitful career. And there's a plethora of things that went down. I don't want to get into specifics, but
of course,
I like being in the league for five years last year. I'm going into my sixth right now, but being in the league for 5 years, I kind of knew what it felt like for me to be, what's the word, to be in a good situation, you know, and that's just what I was like, yeah, I gotta look out for myself and do what I think is best. So, I mean, I kind of knew where it was headed, like, fairly early on into the season, but probably even training camp, if I'm being honest with you. But so when everything kind of popped off, it was just like, yeah, all right, let's get to work.
So basically, what Bryce Huff says there is, yeah, I knew in training camp this probably wasn't going to work out. I get, like, if you come to a place and the fit isn't what you thought it was going to mm-hmm. be, but if that's where your mindset is in training camp, I mean, that makes it hard to feel like he gave it a real shot here.
Well, see, this is where I think Bryce should have just didn't say anything, because you open yourself up when you say that and you leave it ambiguous like that, not ambiguity, but ambiguous. The way that he did. I've been working on that word. But here's the problem, because here in Philadelphia, we need an explanation. Because you said that there was a lot more that went on that you don't want to get into. Well, hell, you didn't have to get into being wanted to be traded, to be totally honest. You could have just left it like, hey, man, didn't work out. Hey, I wish him the best. Hey, I'm fortunate enough to win a ring, whatever. You took that moment. I know what you did. You took the moment and you tried to get sympathy for the way your season went after you won the Super Bowl. I think that's where you probably, there was a disconnect. You won the Super Bowl. You got a ring. You didn't do what you wanted to do. It's okay. You know, it didn't work out. That's all you had. If you would have just said, hey, didn't work out, and kept it moving. Now, go to the San Francisco 49ers and ball out. That's all you had to do. And now you changed the narrative. Like, oh, it didn't work out in Philly, but you went somewhere else and you balled out. Okay, maybe it wasn't a fit. But now you've inadvertently put a bullseye on your back. Now everybody's going to be watching.
Right. And the thing is, like, you can't say that this was my mindset in training camp. Like, I knew immediately it wasn't going to work out here. Like, that makes me think, like, did he really even give it a shot here? Was he trying to do what Vic Fangio was asking him? Was he trying to fit in?
See, this is what I think happened. And this is me recklessly speculating like I like to do. Somewhere along the line, there was a conversation had about your role here or what your expectations were. And you didn't like it. And it automatically put you in a bad place. You took the money. I'd have took the money. With my old ass sitting right here at this radio station, somebody offered me $50 million to go rush the passer. I'm going to pretend like I can. But the point is this. It didn't work out. No matter what you say at this point, especially after winning the Super Bowl, you sound bitter. You sound a little bitter. Let it go. Like, go play for the San Francisco 49ers and go be productive. You didn't have to say anything. I don't think you had to do an interview. You could have just said, hey, man, didn't work out in Philadelphia. I had a great time there. Unfortunately, you know, it wasn't a fit. And leave it like that.
Yeah, dude, you want a ring. Just move on.
Yeah, just move on, dog.
Well,
you
should have never. He should give that ring back.
He should, but your thoughts on Bryce Huff, Kyle, besides that, he should give it back.
Well, so
probably don't wear it, but
probably should think about selling that thing, pawning it off or something. But first of all, it wouldn't surprise me if he actually was productive in San Francisco, because now he's back with Robert Saleh.
It's the truth.
It's perspective, TK. He had 10 sacks.
Perspective
with Robert
from
Saleh.
Kyle again.
No, but
God.
No, he stinks. He does stink, and he's a total loser, total fraud, and that whole that little diatribe he went on was a total joke. My thing is, and what it reminds me of is, we don't really talk about this as much because it doesn't matter, because we got the best version of Vic Fangio and all the players bought into the Vic Fangio thing. But remember when Vic left Miami?
Yeah,
and there was things about
bad mouthing.
Yeah, like all the players were like, you know, go kick rocks and stuff like that. Like, you need to be fully bought into what Vic Fangio is selling in order for you to be productive. And Bryce Huff clearly just...
Look at that analogy that Kyle gave it. That's a good one.
I mean, Huff clearly gave up instantly, which is loser activity.
Well, he basically said he gave up during training camp. Like, oh yeah, I knew in training camp this wasn't going to work out. And I needed to change.
Yeah, you should have let that one ride, dog.
Yeah.
I mean, you got bad advice. I understand you feel some kind of way. But if I'm Bryce Huff, every time I look down at whichever finger you decided to put that ring on,
I would
honestly say, when you think about the NFL as a whole, because you won on both fronts, bro, you got paid. You got paid. You won the Super Bowl in your fifth season in the NFL. You won the Super Bowl. And you get a chance to go resurrect your career somewhere else. How is that? How are you bitter?
He shouldn't be.
Like, seriously, how are you bitter?
No, he could have just easily moved on. Like, it was a winning team. If it was a team that didn't play well, okay, I get you could say some things on your way out the door, but this team won a Super Bowl.
This is where the kids need to get better advice, man. Because as petty as I am, and you know I'm petty, in that moment, the best thing to say is, hey, man, it didn't work out.
Did you make any remarks after you left Jacksonville?
Yeah. I threw salvos at the last game of the season.
Ripped Del Rio?
Oh, yeah. I was like, I don't want to be here. I'm out. And Jack called me, was like, hey, man, you know, let's try to work it out. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. And then you see Hard Knocks. How he really felt.
Then they cut.
Joe and I have looked up, like, worst signings in Jacksonville history, and Hugh's on the list every single time.
And
not fans of Hugh Douglas in Jacksonville.
And I am not a fan of theirs, and they can kiss my whole entire ass in Jacksonville.
Is Hugh the equivalent to Bryce Huff in Jacksonville?
Probably.
Without a single doubt. Except you didn't get a make-believe ring.
No, I didn't. I got one when I came back to Philly, though. I mean, we didn't win at all, but I did.
Yeah, you got that NFC Championship ring. That's good enough.
Yep, and then he fought to y'all.
I have other milestone moments.
Wasn't going to bring that up. 215-592-9494.
In my life.
If you want to get in, see everybody on hold. We'll get back to the calls on the Phillies coming up. Are you more encouraged by the pitching or worried about the offense right now? We will also get to the Phillies all-star selections, who did and didn't make the National League team for the Phillies, and Kyle Schwarber on whether he will participate in the Home Run Derby a week from tonight, next Monday. That's all coming up. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94. WIP.